It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Welcome in on 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel here with you. It is indeed Hit and Run. One more hour to go. Your phone calls welcome right now at 312-644-6767. The Cubs and the Pirates coming up at 12:35. Pregame will be on the air right at noon on The Score. It's Kyle Hendricks going for the Cubs in a bit of a surprising start to fill in the TBD. Bailey Falter, the left-hander for the Pirates, is going to pitch. He has started 7 games, been decent, a 4.34 ERA, a whip of 102. So interesting against the left-hander. What will the Cubs do with the lineup? We've got that. Nico Hoerner back to the leadoff spot, fresh off a homer off of Paul Skenes. Seiya Suzuki hitting 2. Cody Bellinger 3. Christopher Morel healthy enough to be in the lineup. That is a good sign. And Patrick Wisdom there, the 5-hitter at first base, gets a start. Michael Busch gets a Sunday day off against the lefty. Mike Talkman doesn't get a day off, nor should he. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. Talkman is your 6-hitter in right field. Seiya Suzuki a DH today. Cody Bellinger in center. And then Ian App will play left field. Nick Madrigal at second. Miguel Amaya is your catcher. 312-644-6767 is the phone number for the White Sox coming up as they will go to play Cleveland in the finale of their 4-game series. It's going to be Logan Allen for Cleveland against Mike Soroka for the White Sox. Tommy Pham leads off. Andrew Vaughn in the 2-0. A couple of hits for Vaughn last night. And the exit velo has been up over the course of the last week. Nice to see a couple of hits for Vaughn, because you can't be this guy. You can't be a top 5 pick first baseman who has an OPS of 542 this far into your career. It just can't be something that is allowed to happen. Eloy Jimenez is your 3-hitter. Brian Ramos is your 3rd baseman and your cleanup hitter. Gavin Sheets in right. Paul DeJong. Corey Lee, who's had a very nice start to the year. And Lee and Caro bodes well for the catching future of the White Sox. Rafael Ortega in center field. And that is Zach Remillard with the ball club. And there to be the 9-hitter and play second base. Let's go to Stan in Bellwood on 670 The Score. What's up, Stan? How are you? Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you, Spiegs. Good to hear you. I'm enjoying your show this morning. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to say this, Spiegs, something that I never thought that I would say on Hit and Run, and that's that my Mother's Day story of the morning is that I actually have something in common with your mother, Speaks. The Bill Terry question about being the last National Leaguer to hit 400 has always been one of my go-to trivia questions.
Nice.
Over the years. So
love it. Yeah, you know, nobody thinks of that. It used to be last National Leaguer to win the Triple Crown. was right before Yaz in 67. Of course, Miguel Cabrera has done it now, but it was Yaz in 67. I think Frank Robinson in 66, right? Or did he do that with the Orioles in 66? I'll have to look it up. But that's besides the point.
I think the last National Leaguer to win the Triple Crown
Ducky
was Ducky Medwick with the Cardinals in the late 30s.
That's
yeah.
it. That's it. That's why I was thinking of it, because it was Joe Ducky Medwick. So, yeah, there we go. All right.
Yeah. So, I do want to say this, Steve. I want to talk about the White Sox. And, you know, things are going very well right now. And, you know, they're playing well. They look like a team on the rise. Now they've turned it around. But they will give tone deafness brand new meaning if they send Brian Ramos down when Danny Mendick is ready to come up. I can't believe that's even being considered. Now, I may hurt somebody, Steve, if they do that. I can't even believe that's on the agenda.
He looks like a big leaguer, doesn't he?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he's smart. He appears to have a clue at the plate. I love his approach. You know, he's exciting. He kick-started this turnaround. It's no coincidence that things turned around when he came up. You know, I think about some of the players over the last decade or so that have come up and just single-handedly turned things around, brought excitement to the team, guys like Yasiel Puig and O'Neill Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz. Well, Brian Ramos is having the same effect on the White Sox now. Mm-hmm. And they would be pouring cold water all over this surge and turnaround if they didn't leave him up there to get a real good look at him right now. I hope that's not the case.
Thank you, Stan. Appreciate the call. Yeah, Ramos is he's an excitable, intense, energetic young dude who knows how to play. And it absolutely, and we talked about this with Nicky Lopez last week on Parker the Spiegel. It absolutely does light a fire in the clubhouse when you bring up a kid like that who's legit. And their energy there, it infectious enthusiasm matters. So I could quibble with the talent level as compared to guys like you mentioned, like Yasiel Puig and Ellie De La Cruz and things like that. But I don't think that was your point. Your point was the infusion of energy that it can bring to a young team. And it is absolutely vital. And I'm sure it is a part of what is happening right now with the White Sox. Before we go to the phone lines real quick, let's take a look at the leaderboard as we always do on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. And I found myself thinking about left fielders, because we mentioned Andrew Benintendi with our guy Tom Hamilton from Cleveland. And Andrew Benintendi is dead last among all qualified left fielders in Major League Baseball with a 507 OPS. Absolutely dead last. He's dead last in batting average with a 194 batting average. Actually, no. Randy Arozarena is below him. Wow. Look at that, man. Left field is a freaking wasteland right now. Randy Arozarena's hitting under 200. Jack Sawinski's hitting under 200. MJ Melendez in Kansas City. Left field is where you're supposed to put your boppers. There's not that many of them there. Tyler O'Neill has 9 home runs, an OPS of 960. Jurickson and Profar having a great year. Up towards the top of this list of left fielders, Stephen Kwan, Riley Green, Michael Conforto out in San Francisco with 7 homers and an 821 OPS. Ian Happ all the way down at 16th with a 648 OPS. We've done this now for a couple of years where Benintendi and Happ are not producing like the left field offensive profile used to produce, or even like a straight up legit big league offensive profile needs to produce. And I bring up Happ knowing full well that 6th in MLB and on base percentage is Mike Tauchman. Seiya Suzuki is DHing today, and that allows for the room of Mike Tauchman playing in right field with Ian Happ staying in left. But I don't think that Ian Happ should be costing Mike Tauchman games anytime soon. So as they're going to do some rotating here, when you're going to have Suzuki in right and Bellinger in center, you're going to need to play Talkman in left sometimes and lead him off when you would have let off Hap. Talkman lead off left field is not going to be something that is upsetting to Cub fans to see. That is for damn sure. Talkman's going to need to play, even when Suzuki and Bellinger return to full-time outfield duty. And then I wanted to look at this. K's per nine. Who are the pitchers, the starting pitchers, who are striking out the most dudes per nine innings? And I'm looking at your top 20 here. There's some killers in here. Young Michael King of the San Diego Padres is 16th. Yamamoto of the Dodgers, 14th. Luis Castillo, 13th. Cole Reagans, who went from Texas to Kansas City and is now killing it for Kansas City, is up there. Jared Jones, who you just saw the other night for the Pirates against the Cubs. Then there's Dylan Cease and Chris Sale. Oh, I remember those names. They're there in the top 10. Tarik Skubal having a great year for the Tigers. Then some big names, Pablo Lopez, Zach Wheeler, Tyler Glasnow. Number two in baseball at K's per nine is Jack Flaherty, who's pitching again for Detroit today, having a bounce-back year. I picked him up as a spot start in fantasy today. Thank you very much. Number one in strikeouts per nine in all of baseball is Garrett Crochet of the Chicago White Sox. Number one in Ks per nine at 12.34. And that dude was brilliant on Friday night. I know they're talking about maybe pushing him back to the bullpen as a way to control the innings over the course of the year. That makes me crazy because I don't believe that limiting innings is any sort of useful tool in preventing injuries. As I said during the week after reading a piece by J.J. Cooper at Baseball America, seems that all of baseball has a hypothesis right now where the data does not support the hypothesis, and yet everyone still believes in the hypothesis. Well, we got to keep his innings down. Well, we got to keep those pitching counts down. Well, you know, we got to control that or else guys will just keep getting hurt. Have you looked around? Folks, everybody's still getting hurt. That's not how you do it. More than ever, am I a crusty old man? Is that what's happened? More than ever, I'm feeling the Leo Mazzoni, make them throw so their arms get stronger methodology that seemed to work for the old Atlanta Braves. I'm Matt, and get off my lawn. Ron on the south side, you're on the score. Hello, Ron, good morning.
Hey, Speed, you were kind of right about Fetty. So far, so good.
Yeah, man, I like Eric Fetty. I like Eric Fetty, and I think he's been among the best pitchers on that team. You're 9-6 in your last 15, Ron. How's it feel?
Yeah. Well, you know what? But first of all, I'm feeling good. And Tom Hampton, he mentioned the pitch still sets the tone. Having the Rainbows is here, but it can't help me get excited thinking eventually about Cole Montgomery. But more importantly, thinking about Drew Thorpe. I want to see the change up, man. That is nothing like seeing a young pitcher. You know, another contract, because you all were talking to him to mention those contracts.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget about Yoan Moncada.
Oh, it's true.
I mean, sitting at $24 million.
Yep.
And that's been a disaster. You know, Steve, real quick, if I can recall, when the White Sox were making that trade, if I recall, they really wanted Andrew Benintendi, and Boston wasn't going to give him. That's what I've been trying to go back and research it.
And, yes. And Rafael Devers. They had Benintendi, they had Devers, and they had Moncada. And they got Kopech out of it, and they got Moncada out of it, and it was a lot. But, yeah, Devers, the Red Sox just wouldn't even put on the table. Benintendi, the Sox, did indeed want. But, look, you got your man. Andrew Benintendi is yours. You got your man. We've got Team of the Moment coming up, as well as more of your phone calls on this Mother's Day edition of Hit and Run. Keep it right here with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. By the way, today the Cubs continue their series against the Pirates. Pregame coverage starts right at noon. First pitch at 12:35. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. We'll be back with more on Hit and Run.
Suarez, you see the numbers, 1.72 ERA. He's been excellent.
He dots it right there.
Dots it right on the inner half. And a strike three called on the inside part of the plate. Second strikeout. You heard Bell maybe in the background say, oh, no, no, no. But it was a really good pitch. And a strike three called. Seven strikeouts looking tonight.
And it's a strike. You're not going to do anything with it except break your bat.
Swing and a miss. It's the first strikeout swinging for Ranger Suarez, but it's the eighth overall. Swing and a miss. Nine strikeouts for Suarez.
Two-seamer coming back. Another pitch he's gotten a lot better at this year. Just a phenomenal job.
It was the team of the moment.
Sing it.
Offering entertainment.
What was it?
The team of the moment. They caught our eyes.
Yes, the team of the moment right now in Major League Baseball is the Philadelphia Phillies. You heard Ranger Suarez highlights in there, and he's been outrageous. 7-0 in eight starts with 55 strikeouts and eight walks. You have to go back to the dead era of baseball to find dudes who have a whip of 0.72 in their first eight starts with their team winning all eight. And they are Christy Mathewson in 1901, Addie Yost in 1907, and Mordecai Three-Finger Brown in 1908. Those three, and Ranger Effin' Suarez. He's been great. Zach Wheeler has an ERA of 1.64. Spencer Turnbull has an ERA of 1.57 and is going back to the bullpen. You hear that, Hayden Wisniewski? Take it like a champ. The starter's ERA, starting pitcher's ERA for the Phillies is 2.52. Second behind the Red Sox. The team ERA for the Phillies, fourth behind the Dodgers, the Yankees, and Red Sox. Hello, Craig Breslow. But yeah, the Phillies are the team of the moment because they're 28-12. They have the second best run differential in baseball. They've won 13 of their last 15 and 20 of their last 24. And here's the thing about the Phillies. The last 2 years where they've made deep playoff runs, they started bad. 2023, they were 25-32. Ended up winning 90 games, lost the NLCS. 2022, they were 21-29 at the end of May. They won 87 games, made it to the World Series and lose. Both those years, mad scrambles leading to deep postseason runs. And didn't they seem to get exhausted? When you think about the playoffs, didn't you expect the Phillies to go further both the last 2 years? But they could not finish. Maybe because of all the energy after the terrible starts. Now they're 28-12. What the hell does that mean? Bet your Phillies' futures to go to the World Series, if you're asking me. And maybe even to win the whole thing. Yeah, I know. I see you, Dodgers. So the Phillies are the team of the moment. By the way, I remember I told you last segment that Mike Tauchman is sixth in Major League Baseball in on-base percentage.
Yeah, I remember that.
Three of the top five are Dodgers.
Oh, that's right. They're like good and stuff. Yeah, they got this guy, right? What's his name?
Three of them. Yeah, Freddie Freeman is his name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's others too. Let's go to Jim in Westmont on 670 The Score for the Mother's Day edition of Hit and Run. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Speaks. How are you?
Happy Mother's Day. Hey, you too.
I also like to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom, Ellen, who is listening right now. I'd like to share a story.
Please.
I know you're going to love, because she has the same love and passion for baseball as you do. When she was 13, she went down to Tampa to visit her aunt on spring break and also catch some Yankees preseason games. So after church one Sunday, she met Billy Martin, Yogi Berra, Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, and there might have been one or two more. I can't remember. But oh. Is that unbelievable? And got their autographs.
Same day. That's awesome.
Same day. It's unbelievable. And then on a side note, too, back in 2019, my mom's probably one of the biggest sports fans in the city, without a doubt. And but baseball is her true love. In 2019, I can't go into all the details, it'll take too much time, but I arranged for David Haw and his lovely wife, Allison, to drive out to Brookfield. Never met the man before, but through Facebook, he agreed to do it.
Wow.
Surprised my mother at her birthday lunch and brought her the scorecard from Game 7 of the 2016 World Series, autographed by Pat Hughes.
Hell yeah. Hell
is that awesome or what?
That is awesome. Not surprised that David Haw did that. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. Earlier in the show, we played some of Hayden Wesneski on yesterday with Haw and, of course, our Bruce Levine on Inside the Clubhouse. Nice to have a couple of baseball shows on the Saturday and Sunday morning here during the year covering it for all of you. I do love that we're all wishing each other. So far, it's been a whole bunch of dudes wishing each other Happy Mother's Day. It's just, you know, like guys call up, hey, Matt, wanted to wish you Happy Mother's Day. I mean, that's basically what I'm doing. I'm wishing all of the mothers in your lives a Happy Mother's Day, whether you yourself are a mother or not. There's just no way to know. Farmer Pat is on a tractor and is now on Hit and Run on the Score. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, Spiggs. How are you doing today?
All right, what are you doing on the tractor? What's getting accomplished?
I'm planting some soybeans.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, thank you for calling and listening and hanging out. Like, nice to be there with you.
Well, yes, sir. Well, first off, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom. I believe she's listening, so happy Mother's Day, Mom. But
love it.
Had two questions for you, Speaks. What are you weighing Craig Counsell's responsibility at some late-game losses versus the bullpen? And just seeing what's the status with Brennan Davis? I haven't heard much about him. I'll hang up and listen. Have a great day.
Yeah, you know, I haven't thought about Brennan Davis much. I got to be honest. I don't think there's a spot right now for him in this outfield mix. And he's 24, trying to work his way back. Right now, it's an OPS of 730 through 72 at-bats at Iowa. It does have a couple homers, 15 ribs, hitting only .222. All the injuries kind of derailed the trajectory of Brennan Davis, and he's just not on my radar much. I find myself thinking about Owen Casey, thinking about Matt Shaw as bats who could come up and make an impact here at some point. And, of course, Cade Horton and some other possible relief options down there. In terms of Counsell's role to play in some of the late inning stuff, I don't get Keegan Thompson's existence on the roster right now. I don't get it. I mean, I guess they wanted him back after his failure last week when they sent him down and they brought him back up when Daniel Palencia couldn't go. I guess when Daniel Palencia goes to the injured list and they bring Keegan Thompson back one day later, I don't get it. I guess that means they don't want to give Cam Sanders a shot or Porter Hodge a shot or Carl Edwards Jr. There are no options on Carl Edwards Jr. So when you do bring him up, he's got to be here to stay or else you're done with him. But goodness, these games do matter. These games do matter right now, right here. And maybe I'm too colored on Keegan, like I'm too informed by what I see in terms of anxiety and body language and moments where things kind of fall apart for him out there, but I'm just not a believer. So if there's any counsel thinking on that one, then I'm concerned. Some of the other stuff, I mean, you got to find a way for Adbert to get going. Another guy out of options. I think the lower leverage usages of Adbert of late have made some sense to me. My issue with Craig is that I want him to see him push starters a little further and a little harder. But actually was able to ask him about exactly that this past week on 670 The Score, because there's been a lot of games, whether it's Assad or Tyone, where I'm like, man, how about one more inning? Then there's maybe one or two relievers you won't even have to see. And I was able to ask Craig Counsell directly, will we ever see a time in MLB where guys are going to 115 pitches with more regularity? Will we ever see that again?
Unless they change the rules, it will not, no.
Which rules?
Well, unless they only let you have like 8 pitchers on a team or something like that, or 10 pitchers on a team. You know, if they allow you less pitchers, then the way people pitch will start to change. But if that doesn't happen, then no, I don't think we will. It's just the demands of what's required of pitchers is different. The game changes. I think sometimes baseball gets compared historically to itself, the game and eras changes. And that means different things are important and emphasized and required of the players, and the players adapt to that.
We're talking to Craig Counsell. Would you be in favor of a rule change like that, limiting number of pitchers on a roster?
No, I wouldn't, no.
Oh, my God. My wife thinks that Craig Counsell just is not interested in our questions. She listens, and she's like, you know, I don't know. You guys need better questions for Craig. He seems like he's just not interested.
I like how she's going to bat for Craig. Like, ah, come on, guys. You can get it. Just got to get him interested.
No, she's just not a fan of the whole thing, the whole dynamic, frankly. Part of that is because I believe she has 9 pictures of herself with David Ross. That could be maybe 11 pictures right. of herself with David Ross. Granted, I took most of them. But yeah, you know, she's not a huge Counsell fan nor a Counsell interview fan. But what does she know? Actually, she knows everything. Happy Mother's Day, babe. If you're listening, she's the best. I doubt she's listening, but she's still the best. Oh, my God. But, you know, so look, they need what I've said all year is they need roster churn. They need to keep going through a bunch of different arms and find guys because the bullpen is so volatile from year to year. You have to find the dudes who are clicking. And that's why I want to see some of those minor league guys. There's a dude at AA who may be a future closer. And Michael Arias is funky in terms of release point and stuff. And he's only a AA, and you know, you don't know about his moxie at all. So I don't know if it's going to be this year or not. But Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline, of course you see him on the road to Wrigley on Marquee as well, was on the morning show this week and talked about Michael Arias.
Yeah, he's super intriguing, and I think we're going to see him in the big leagues this year. I mean, as you mentioned, he was signed as a shortstop by the Blue Jays, I think back in 2018, and he never got into a game with them. Got released during the pandemic. The Cubs signed him, I think, January 21, put him on the mound. And I don't know if you've ever seen him pitch or if the listeners have seen him pitch, but he's entertaining. I mean, he throws kind of from like a low arm slot. You think of a shortstop, you know, getting rid of the ball in a hurry. It's kind of a low arm slot. And it's a mid-90s fastball with a ton of movement. He's got a changeup that dives all over the place. He's got a mid-80s slider that's pretty good when he stays on top of it. And the Cubs were intrigued by him as a starter. And they kind of went the Daniel Palencia route with him, where I remember talking to people about Palencia going into last year. And there were a lot of people in the Cubs system and scouts outside the organization are like, yeah, I think this guy could be a starter. And the Cubs internally said, yeah, but if we start to contend, you know, this guy could get there quick as a reliever, and that might be his long-term destination anyway. You know, and they moved him. And then that's the same thing they've done with Arias. He's off to a really good start in AA. I would not be shocked to see him in AAA Iowa pretty soon. And I do think he's a guy that you know, like you said, the biggest Achilles heel of the team right now has been the bullpen that, you know, I think around midseason or so, we could see him in Chicago.
How about that? That's Jim Callis. I didn't realize he was that heady on Arias getting here. Good pull there, Sean Sears. So to AAA soon for Arias and then maybe to the bigs at some point. Yeah, know this. The makeup of this bullpen now is not what the makeup of this bullpen is going to be in August. It's just not. I mean, hopefully they get Yancy Almonte back healthy soon. That guy had seemed to find it a little bit. Hector Neris should be in that middle relief mix and that setup mix. I don't know who the closer is going to be. It could be Ben Brown. It could be Arias. I think Wesneski and Ben Brown will both be important players out of that bullpen. I don't know who the predominant lefty is going to be beyond Mark Leiter, who is your lefty reverse splits guy. Not sold on Richard Lovelady at this point.
I want that to work so bad.
I know. We can all want things. But we don't always get it.
I think you're right, though, Spiegs. I think the left-handed reliever is probably maybe a guy they acquire later on, if that's the case, right?
Yeah, maybe so. Texter's getting in about Mother's Day. My mother, above all others, made me a Cubs fan. Always the game on TV or radio while she was working out in her garden. Her favorite player was Bill Buckner. She had a thing for mustaches. That's right. Even though she's not a football fan, she thinks Dave Wannstedt is the most handsome man ever. I love that. We'll tell him. Hey, Wani, you got a fan. It's this dude's mom. Texter says, I was a Brewers and a Cubs fan till Milwaukee got kicked out of the American League. Then the choice was easy. The heartache of 84 and 89, but 2016 validated everything. And the first person I called was my mom. Happy Mother's Day. That's beautiful. Love that. Thank you. This is Jake, who is in Millmine or Millman, Illinois. Is that where you are, Jake?
Yeah, Mill Mine, little bitty town. It's between Decatur and Champaign, kind of.
Love it. Jake, thanks for calling. How are you?
I love you guys' show. I love your baseball show. I don't even root for any Chicago teams, but I enjoy the score and I enjoy baseball talk. So.
That's awesome.
But, my story is about my mom and the other moms, the other neighbor moms in this little town I grew up in that I was very fortunate. All the parents, like everybody's dad worked at a factory in Champaign or Decatur, and everybody had three or four kids, you know what I mean? We all played little league t-ball, and I remember my mom and the neighbor lady, Debbie, saying, "Well, here we are, Debbie, again. Now it's grandkids' turn." See what I'm saying? She goes, yeah. These are the same bleachers they had back then, and they're not any more comfortable as they were then, or something along those lines. But, because then, there was three of us, and then we had nine grandkids all together. So it was like, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are still here and all the moms that aren't here, but came to every stinking Little League game or every football, basketball, whatever. But
That's awesome.
A great show. And thanks, man. I appreciate you guys taking the call.
You got it. Thank you, Jake. Thanks for calling. Love knowing that we're reaching down that way and folks are with us. And, yeah, thinking about our moms here on Mother's Day and very much looking forward to joining my wife out in the burbs. And we'll see. We'll see what happens this afternoon as Cody Bellinger and the Cubs will battle against the Pirates for one more game. Got to take two out of three out of there. Got to take two out of three. By the way, as the Cubs continue their series against the Pirates, you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And a simple way to listen to Mutley and Hall, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything the Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today, search 670 The Score, and take us wherever you may go. Cody Bellinger is my favorite hitter to watch on these Cubs. One of my favorite hitters to watch in all of baseball. And I didn't know he had all these tools in the toolbox. Did not know he had all these clubs in the bag until he came here and rebuilt his career last year. And have joked about it with Nico Horner on the Parkins and Spiegel show, how they say it all the time from the dugout when he'll adjust the bat speed and adjust his bat path and use that two strike hack and go ahead and just poke that ball into center field. Nico says they'll look at each other and say, "Nope, they don't pay for that. They don't pay you for that." I love that. But Dustin Kelly, the Cubs hitting coach, he was on with Mully and all this week, and he knows if he could clone Cody Bellinger, he would.
If I could clone him, I would. I probably don't have a great answer for you because I don't think anybody really expects anybody that misses time like that to be able to jump right in. But I guess if there's one guy that can do it, it's Cody. I mean, he works really hard and he was able to maintain and do some stuff in the cage, even though he was on the DL. So it wasn't like he hadn't had any time, but he didn't get to see a ton of live pitching. But, Cody's such a feel oriented and he uses his kind of the past experiences so well for what he's able to go up there and do. So he knew kind of getting in there that if he got comfortable and saw a couple pitches that he'd be able to jump right in. And I mean, that first at bat, I think he fouled off maybe 10 or 11 pitches.
Right,
and that's almost a game's worth, actually two games worth of swings for some guys. So that almost accelerated probably the vision, the timing, the release point. Hopefully that had a little bit to do with it. But yeah, Cody's a special guy and just the way that he thinks about hitting and goes about managing in a bat is pretty impressive. So I'm not going to say that I wasn't surprised, but it's fun to watch.
So that's Bellinger coming back, raring to go right from the get-go. And there he is, of course, in the middle of the lineup again today. We're going to wrap up a little bit differently today. A song, and then a nice chunk, both produced by our guy, the late Steve Albini. That's coming up next before Cubs pregame on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
It is Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. So Kevin Goldstein, who is the Director of Player Development, I do believe, is the title for the Minnesota Twins, used to work for the Astros and worked at Fangraphs before, after, during Baseball Prospectus as well. Had a podcast and was looking for music to use for the podcast. And he asked his friend, Steve Albini, who just died this week, the great record engineer. Don't call him a producer. He wouldn't like it. But he asked Steve Albini to do something. And Steve Albini had poker games where Kevin would sometimes be there. I would sometimes be there. Tim Midget of the band Silkworm would sometimes be there. Andy Kaczynski, drummer of the band Hungry Man, would sometimes be there. And so many of us would be there, really. And a lot of us loved baseball and loved poker and loved music as well. So we got together and made three songs that are all available now as a 7-inch called Chin Music. Due respect to Inside the Clubhouse. But Chin Music is now available, and all of the proceeds benefit a very good cause, a different friend in need. But you can check it out. There's three different tracks. One's called Chin Music. One is called Game of Inches. And then there's this one with me and Steve and Tim and Andy called You Break My Heart Every Year. It's about your baseball team breaking your heart every year, and yet still you're right there. All right, we had some fun getting our AC/DC on, obviously. Steve loved baseball and was on Hit and Run this very show 5 years ago in studio, and we talked about why it is a game like no other.
When you boil every game down to its essentials, all sports are about fighting over a pill and trying to put it into a goal before a clock runs out. You know, like you have, it doesn't matter whether it's
a basketball, a hockey puck,
yeah,
a soccer ball.
You just have these two mobs fighting over a thing. And then one of them, you know, one of them's trying to put it in a goal. The other one's trying to defend the goal. And then when the bell rings, somebody has more points than the other and they win.
Yes. Right?
They're all the same game. They're all ridiculous.
With varying levels of violence and or execution, yeah, and or teamwork, but concept the same. Here, yeah, is a goal. Let me move pill towards and into it.
Exactly. Different playing surface, whatever. I mean, at a minimum, the Aztec ball game where they would, you know, the sort of precursor to basketball, where they would kill the losing team like that to me, at least the stakes are high enough to make it interesting. But I, you know, the biggest distinction that these different mob sports have is what the playing surface is. You know, is it grass, or
right,
is it ice?
Yes.
You know, like, is it wood?
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, is it parquet?
It reminds me, Sam Rosen was once doing a Bears preseason game, and he also does the New York Rangers hockey game. And he tossed to break by saying, and we'll be right back. The Rangers are up 4-3 as he's doing a Bears game. And I imagined him thinking, this is the worst ice I've ever seen. What's wrong with this ice? It's a giant field of grass. That's what's wrong. But I understand why he got confused.
Yeah, so basically, these mob sports, they're all the same, right?
Okay.
Then there's one other minor class of sports, which is the pong sports, where you're trying to defeat the return of something over a net.
Tennis, ping pong, badminton.
Yeah, the volleyball.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever. The pong sports, handball, highlight, whatever. They're all pong.
Okay.
Basically.
And then there's golf, which exists in its own sort of realm.
Golf is billiards. Yeah, it's shot making, shot selection, technique, execution, you know, it's billiards.
And extremely individual.
Yeah. And then there's baseball. Baseball is not utterly unique in that there are, you know, there is cricket, which is another kind of a crippled form of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But in baseball, the ball is immaterial to scoring. The ball is just an object that you use to punish the people who are playing. you know? And you use the ball to threaten and to punish the players.
The offense doesn't even handle the ball.
Exactly. It's an utterly unique game. And it is limitless, which is what I like. That's the number one best thing about baseball, is that it theoretically you could have a game that went on forever. You know, there's there was a book called The Big Inning. I forget who wrote it, but it was about a mythical baseball game between ghost teams that went on, you know, that went on infinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just whenever anybody went ahead, then the home team would equalize in their half of the inning, and the game just went on forever. And I think that's a charming concept. Also, the fact that there's no standardized baseball field. Like, the outfield walls could be anywhere, any
yes.
shape, whatever. Stick a flagpole in there. Who cares, you know?
It has to be a flagpole in a hill.
Exactly. Who cares? Yeah. Like, you might as well. I think they should have a concession stand with, you know, like, stairs leading up to the bleachers. I think that would be awesome, you know?
Make a leaping catch off the fourth stair on his yeah. way to get a beer.
Buy the popcorn machine. Uh-huh. You know, I think it would be great.
Right. You know? So the uniqueness of baseball, obviously, it makes it. And don't you think that there is, and I do, more room for conversation, both in the timing of the game and in the incredible nuance of the game? There is endless conversation available.
The thing is that you can pick something to pay attention to on every single pitch, and over time you will be rewarded for having paid attention to that one thing. Every baseball game I've been to,
mm-hmm.
I've seen something absurd has happened. You know,
yeah.
It's like our mutual friend Devin, he said every single time he's been to a poker game, he has seen something absurd happen, and that's absolutely true in baseball as well.
Yeah.
I went to a game last year, just on the spur of the moment. Our mutual friend, Shut Up Andy, who runs the nittykitty.com poker t-shirts company.
They are delightful t-shirts. My favorite is... what is it? If rapture comes, blind me
yeah,
out.
In case of rapture, blind me
in
out.
In case of rapture, blind me out, which yeah. means keep putting my blinds out there in case, yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
If the seat is empty because of a divine intervention, then anyway.
Andy invites you to a game.
Spur of the moment, for no reason. Just say, mm-hmm. hey, I have a spare ticket. Do you want to go see this game? So we go see, a largely inconsequential game, you know, middle, late season, whatever. And Bodhi hits a walk-off grand slam.
Against the Nationals and Ryan Madsen a year ago, like what, 3 days ago, something
yeah,
like that.
Fantastic moment.
Legendary.
Half of the of the tragically unfaithful Cubs fans had already vacated the most beautiful ballpark to see a ball game in. You know, in a very tense ninth inning situation, the stands were bleeding. Everybody was leaving, right? Mm. And
that's what you get.
Bada bing.
Bada bing, indeed. Requiescat, Mr. Steve Albini. Been a rough week for a lot of folks. And we'll certainly miss talking baseball and all other things with that dude. Thank you so much to the texters and the callers for getting in with your Mother's Day stories. Squeezing one more. Texter says, my mom's the reason I love the White Sox in baseball. She ran the concessions in my little league. Took me to card shows for autographs. And at the end of her life, she couldn't remember what hospital she was at or her phone number, but she knew that the Sox ballpark was called U.S. Cellular because, quote, I still call it Comiskey, unquote. Thanks to Rob in Highland Park. Thanks to all our guests today as well, Tom Hamilton. And thank you to Patrick Wisdom. Cubs baseball is next on In and Run, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Welcome in on 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel here with you. It is indeed Hit and Run. One more hour to go. Your phone calls welcome right now at 312-644-6767. The Cubs and the Pirates coming up at 12:35. Pregame will be on the air right at noon on The Score. It's Kyle Hendricks going for the Cubs in a bit of a surprising start to fill in the TBD. Bailey Falter, the left-hander for the Pirates, is going to pitch. He has started seven games, been decent, a 4.34 ERA, a whip of 102. So interesting against the left-hander. What will the Cubs do with the lineup? We've got that. Nico Horner back to the leadoff spot, fresh off a homer off of Paul Skenes. Seiya Suzuki hitting .200. Cody Bellinger .300. Christopher Morel healthy enough to be in the lineup. That is a good sign. And Patrick Wisdom there, the five hitter at first base, gets a start. Michael Busch gets a Sunday day off against the lefty. Mike Talkman doesn't get a day off, nor should he. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. Talkman is your six hitter in right field. Seiya Suzuki a DH today. Cody Bellinger in center. And then Ian App will play left field. Nick Madrigal at second. Miguel Amaya is your catcher. 312-644-6767 is the phone number for the White Sox coming up as they will go to play Cleveland in the finale of their four-game series. It's going to be Logan Allen for Cleveland against Mike Soroka for the White Sox. Tommy Pham leads off. Andrew Vaughn in the 2-0. A couple of hits for Vaughn last night. And the exit velo has been up over the course of the last week. Nice to see a couple of hits for Vaughn, because you can't be this guy. You can't be a top five pick first baseman who has an OPS of 542 this far into your career. It just can't be something that is allowed to happen. Eloy Jimenez is your three hitter. Brian Ramos is your third baseman and your cleanup hitter. Gavin Sheets in right. Paul DeJong. Corey Lee, who's had a very nice start to the year. And Lee and Caro bodes well for the catching future of the White Sox. Rafael Ortega in center field. And that is Zach Remillard with the ball club. And there to be the nine hitter and play second base. Let's go to Stan in Bellwood on 670 The Score. What's up, Stan? How are you? Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you, Spiegs. Good to hear you. I'm enjoying your show this morning. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to say this, Spiegs, something that I never thought that I would say on Hit and Run, and that's that my Mother's Day story of the morning is that I actually have something in common with your mother, Speaks. The Bill Terry question about being the last National Leaguer to hit 400 has always been one of my go-to trivia questions.
Nice.
Over the years. So.
Love it. Yeah, you know, nobody thinks of that. It used to be last National Leaguer to win the Triple Crown was right before Yaz in 67. Of course, Miguel Cabrera has done it now. But it was Yaz in 67. I think Frank Robinson in 66, right? Or did he do that with the Orioles in 66? I'll have to look it up. But that's besides the point.
I think the last National Leaguer to win the Triple Crown was
Ducky Medwick.
Ducky Medwick with the Cardinals in the late 30s.
That's
yeah.
it. That's it. That's why I was thinking of it, because it was Joe Ducky Medwick. So, yeah, there we go. All right. Yeah.
So, I do want to say this, Steve. I want to talk about the White Sox. And, you know, things are going very well right now. And, you know, they're playing well. They look like a team on the rise. Now they've turned it around, but they will give tone deafness brand new meaning if they send Brian Ramos down when Danny Mendick is ready to come up. I can't believe that's even being considered now. I may hurt somebody, Steve, if they do that. I can't even believe that's on the agenda.
He looks like a big leaguer, doesn't he?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he's smart. He appears to have a clue at the plate. I love his approach. You know, he's exciting. He's he kick-started this turnaround. It's no coincidence that things turned around when he came up. You know, I think about some of the players over the last decade or so that have come up and just single-handedly turned things around, brought excitement to the team, guys like Yasiel Puig and O'Neill Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz. Well, Brian Ramos is having the same effect on the White Sox now. Mm-hmm. And they would be pouring cold water all over this surge and turnaround if they didn't leave him up there to get a real good look at him right now. I just, you know, I hope that that's not the case.
Thank you, Stan. Appreciate the call. Yeah, Ramos is, he's an excitable, intense, energetic young dude who knows how to play. And it absolutely, and we talked about this with Nicky Lopez last week on Parker the Spiegel. It absolutely does light a fire in the clubhouse when you bring up a kid like that who's legit. And their energy, their infectious enthusiasm matters. So I could quibble with the talent level as compared to guys like you mentioned, like Yasiel Puig and Ellie De La Cruz and things like that. But I don't think that was your point. Your point was the infusion of energy that it can bring to a young team. And it is absolutely vital. And I'm sure it is a part of what is happening right now with the White Sox. Before we go to the phone lines real quick, let's take a look at the leaderboard as we always do on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. And I found myself thinking about left fielders, because we mentioned Andrew Benintendi with our guy Tom Hamilton from Cleveland. And Andrew Benintendi is dead last among all qualified left fielders in Major League Baseball with a 507 OPS. Absolutely dead last. He's dead last in batting average with a 194 batting average. Actually, no. Randy Arozarena is below him. Wow. Look at that, man. Left field is a freaking wasteland right now. Randy Arozarena's hitting under 200. Jack Sawinski's hitting under 200. MJ Melendez in Kansas City. Left field is where you're supposed to put your boppers. There's not that many of them there. Tyler O'Neill has 9 home runs, an OPS of 960. Jurickson and Profar having a great year. Up towards the top of this list of left fielders, Stephen Kwan, Riley Green, Michael Conforto out in San Francisco with 7 homers and an 821 OPS. Ian Happ all the way down at 16th with a 648 OPS. We've done this now for a couple of years where Benintendi and Happ are not producing like the left field offensive profile used to produce, or even like a straight up legit big league offensive profile needs to produce. And I bring up Happ knowing full well that 6th in MLB and on base percentage is Mike Tauchman. Seiya Suzuki is DHing today, and that allows for the room of Mike Tauchman playing in right field with Ian Happ staying in left. But I don't think that Ian Happ should be costing Mike Tauchman games anytime soon. So as they're going to do some rotating here, when you're going to have Suzuki in right and Bellinger in center, you're going to need to play Tauchman in left sometimes. and lead him off when you would have let off Hap. Talkman lead off left field is not going to be something that is upsetting to Cub fans to see. That is for damn sure. Talkman's going to need to play, even when Suzuki and Bellinger return to full-time outfield duty. And then I wanted to look at this. K's per nine. Who are the pitchers, the starting pitchers, who are striking out the most dudes per nine innings? And I'm looking at your top 20 here. There's some killers in here. Young Michael King of the San Diego Padres is 16th. Yamamoto of the Dodgers, 14th. Luis Castillo, 13th. Cole Reagans, who went from Texas to Kansas City and is now killing it for Kansas City, is up there. Jared Jones, who you just saw the other night for the Pirates against the Cubs. Then there's Dylan Cease and Chris Sale. Oh, I remember those names. They're there in the top 10. Tarik Skubal having a great year for the Tigers. Then some big names, Pablo Lopez, Zach Wheeler, Tyler Glasnow. Number two in baseball at K's per nine is Jack Flaherty, who's pitching again for Detroit today, having a bounce-back year. I picked him up as a spot start in fantasy today. Thank you very much. Number one in strikeouts per nine in all of baseball is Garrett Crochet of the Chicago White Sox. Number one in Ks per nine at 12.34. And that dude was brilliant on Friday night. I know they're talking about maybe pushing him back to the bullpen as a way to control the innings over the course of the year. That makes me crazy because I don't believe that limiting innings is any sort of useful tool in preventing injuries. As I said during the week after reading a piece by J.J. Cooper at Baseball America, seems that all of baseball has a hypothesis right now where the data does not support the hypothesis, and yet everyone still believes in the hypothesis. Well, we got to keep his innings down. Well, we got to keep those pitching counts down. Well, you know, we got to control that or else guys will just keep getting hurt. Have you looked around? Folks, everybody's still getting hurt. That's not how you do it. More than ever, am I a crusty old man? Is that what's happened? More than ever, I'm feeling the Leo Mazzoni, make them throw so their arms get stronger methodology that seemed to work for the old Atlanta Braves. I'm Matt, and get off my lawn. Ron on the south side, you're on the score. Hello, Ron, good morning.
Hey, Speaks, you were kind of right about Fetty. So far, so good.
Yeah, man, I like Eric Fetty. I like Eric Fetty, and I think he's been among the best pitchers on that team. You're 9-6 in your last 15, Ron. How's it feel?
Yeah. Well, you know what? But first of all, I'm feeling good. And Tom Hampton, he mentioned the pitching still sets the tone. Having the Rainbows is here, but it can't help me get excited thinking eventually about Cole Montgomery. But more importantly, thinking about Drew Thorpe. I want to see the change up, man. It's nothing like seeing a young pitcher. You know, another contract, because you all were talking to him to mention those contracts.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget about Yoan Moncada.
Oh, it's true.
I mean, sitting at $24 million.
Yep.
And that's been a disaster. You know, speak real quick. If I can recall, when the White Sox were making that trade, if I recall, they really wanted Andrew Benintendi, and Boston wasn't going to give him. That's what I'm trying to go back and research it.
And Rafael Devers. They had Benintendi, they had Devers, and they had Moncada. And they got Kopech out of it, and they got Moncada out of it, and it was a lot. But, yeah, Devers, the Red Sox just wouldn't even put on the table. Benintendi, the Sox, did indeed want. But, look, you got your man. Andrew Benintendi is yours. You got your man. We've got Team of the Moment coming up, as well as more of your phone calls on this Mother's Day edition of Hit and Run. Keep it right here with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. By the way, today the Cubs continue their series against the Pirates. Pregame coverage starts right at noon. First pitch at 12:35. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. We'll be back with more on Hit and Run.
Suarez, you see the numbers, 1.72 ERA. He's been excellent.
He dots it right there.
Dots it right on the inner half. And a strike three called on the inside part of the plate. Second strikeout. You heard Bell maybe in the background say, oh, no, no, no. But it was a really good pitch. And a strike three called. Seven strikeouts looking tonight.
And it's a strike. You're not going to do anything with it except break your bat.
Swing and a miss. It's the first strikeout swinging for Ranger Suarez, but it's the eighth overall. Swing and a miss. Nine strikeouts for Suarez.
Two-seamer coming back. Another pitch he's gotten a lot better at this year. Just a phenomenal job.
It was the team of the moment.
Sing it.
Offering entertainment.
What was it?
The team of the moment. They caught our eyes.
Yes, the team of the moment right now in Major League Baseball is the Philadelphia Phillies. You heard Ranger Suarez highlights in there, and he's been outrageous. 7-0 in eight starts with 55 strikeouts and eight walks. You have to go back to the dead era of baseball to find dudes who have a whip of 0.72 in their first eight starts with their team winning all eight, and they are Christy Mathewson in 1901, Addy Yost in 1907, and Mordecai Three-Finger Brown in 1908. Those three, and Ranger Effin Suarez. He's been great. Zach Wheeler has an ERA of 1.64. Spencer Turnbull has an ERA of 1.57 and is going back to the bullpen. You hear that, Hayden Wesneski? Take it like a champ. The starter's ERA, starting pitcher's ERA for the Phillies is 2.52. Second behind the Red Sox. The team ERA for the Phillies, fourth behind the Dodgers, the Yankees, and Red Sox. Hello, Craig Breslow. But yeah, the Phillies are the team of the moment because they're 28-12. They have the second best run differential in baseball. They've won 13 of their last 15 and 20 of their last 24. And here's the thing about the Phillies. The last 2 years where they've made deep playoff runs, they started bad. 2023, they were 25-32, ended up winning 90 games, lost the NLCS. 2022, they were 21-29 at the end of May. They won 87 games, made it to the World Series and lose. Both those years, mad scrambles leading to deep postseason runs, and didn't they seem to get exhausted? When you think about the playoffs, didn't you expect the Phillies to go further both the last 2 years? But they could not finish. Maybe because of all the energy after the terrible starts. Now they're 28-12. What the hell does that mean? Bet your Phillies' futures to go to the World Series, if you're asking me. And maybe even to win the whole thing. Yeah, I know. I see you, Dodgers. So the Phillies are the team of the moment. By the way, I remember I told you last segment that Mike Tauchman is sixth in Major League Baseball in on-base percentage.
Yeah, I remember that.
Three of the top five are Dodgers.
Oh, that's right. They're like good and stuff. Yeah, we got this guy, right? What's his name?
Three of them. Yeah, Freddie Freeman is his name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's others too. Let's go to Jim in Westmont on 670 The Score for the Mother's Day edition of Hit and Run. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Speaks. How are you?
Happy Mother's Day. Hey, you too.
I also like to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom, Ellen, who is listening right now. I'd like to share a story.
Please.
I know you're going to love. Because she has the same love and passion for baseball as you do. When she was 13, she went down to Tampa to visit her aunt on spring break and also catch some Yankees preseason games. So after church one Sunday, she met Billy Martin, Yogi Berra, Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, and there might have been one or two more. I can't remember, but... Oh. Is that unbelievable? And got their autographs.
Same day. That's awesome.
Same day. It's unbelievable. And then on a side note, too, back in 2019, my mom's probably one of the biggest sports fans in the city, without a doubt. And but baseball is her true love. In 2019, I can't go into all the details. It'll take too much time. But I arranged for David Haw and his lovely wife, Allison, to drive out to Brookfield. Never met the man before, but through Facebook, he agreed to do it.
Wow.
Surprised my mother at her birthday lunch and brought her the scorecard from Game 7 of the 2016 World Series, autographed by Pat Hughes.
Hell yeah. Hell
is that
yeah.
Awesome or what?
That is awesome. Not surprised that David Haw did that. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. earlier in the show, we played some of Hayden Wesneski on yesterday with Haw and, of course, our Bruce Levine on Inside the Clubhouse. Nice to have a couple of baseball shows on the Saturday and Sunday morning here during the year, covering it for all of you. I do love that we're all wishing each other. So far, it's been a whole bunch of dudes wishing each other Happy Mother's Day. It's just, you know, like guys call up, hey, Matt, wanted to wish you Happy Mother's Day. I mean, that's basically what I'm doing. I'm wishing all of the mothers in your lives a Happy Mother's Day, whether you yourself are a mother or not. There's just no way to know. Farmer Pat is on a tractor and is now on Hit and Run on the Score. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, Spiegs. How are you doing today?
All right, what are you doing on the tractor? What's getting accomplished?
I'm planting some soybeans.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, thank you for calling and listening and hanging out. Like, nice to be there with you.
Well, yes, sir. Well, first off, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom. I believe she's listening, so happy Mother's Day, Mom. But I had two questions for you, Speaks. What are you weighing Craig Counsell's responsibility at some late-game losses versus the bullpen? And just seeing what's the status with Brennan Davis? I haven't heard much about him. I'll hang up and listen. Have a great day.
Yeah, you know, I haven't thought about Brennan Davis much. I got to be honest. I don't think there's a spot right now for him in this outfield mix. And he's 24, trying to work his way back. Right now, it's an OPS of 730 through 72 at-bats at Iowa. Does have a couple homers, 15 ribs, hitting only 222. All the injury has kind of derailed the trajectory of Brennan Davis, and he's just not on my radar much. I find myself thinking about Owen Casey, thinking about Matt Shaw as bats who could come up and make an impact here at some point. And, of course, Cade Horton and some other possible relief options down there. In terms of Counsell's role to play in some of the late inning stuff, I don't get Keegan Thompson's existence on the roster right now. I don't get it. I mean, I guess they wanted him back after his failure last week when they sent him down and they brought him back up when Daniel Palencia couldn't go. I guess when Daniel Palencia goes to the injured list and they bring Keegan Thompson back one day later, I don't get it. I guess that means they don't want to give Cam Sanders a shot or Porter Hodge a shot or Carl Edwards Jr. There are no options on Carl Edwards Jr. So when you do bring him up, he's got to be here to stay or else you're done with him. But goodness, these games do matter. These games do matter right now, right here. And maybe I'm too colored on Keegan, like I'm too informed by what I see in terms of anxiety and body language and moments where things kind of fall apart for him out there, but I'm just not a believer. So if there's any counsel thinking on that one, then I'm concerned. Some of the other stuff, I mean, you got to find a way for Adbert to get going. Another guy out of options. I think the lower leverage usages of Adbert of late have made some sense to me. My issue with Craig is that I want him to see him push starters a little further and a little harder, but actually was able to ask him about exactly that this past week on 670 The Score, because there's been a lot of games, whether it's Assad or Tyone, where I'm like, man, how about one more inning? Then there's maybe one or two relievers you won't even have to see. And I was able to ask Craig Counsell directly, will we ever see a time in MLB where guys are going to 115 pitches with more regularity? Will we ever see that again?
Unless they change the rules, it will not, no.
Which rules?
Well, unless they only let you have like 8 pitchers on a team or something like that, or 10 pitchers on a team. You know, if they allow you less pitchers, then the way people pitch will start to change. But if that doesn't happen, then no, I don't think we will. It's just the demands of what's required of pitchers is different. The game changes. I think sometimes baseball gets compared historically to itself, the game and eras changes. And that means different things are important and emphasized and required of the players, and the players adapt to that.
We're talking to Craig Counsell. Would you be in favor of a rule change like that, limiting number of pitchers on a roster?
No, I wouldn't, no.
Oh, my God. My wife thinks that Craig Counsell just is not interested in our questions. She listens and she's like, you know, I don't know. You guys need better questions for Craig. He seems like he's just not interested.
I like how she's going to bat for Craig. Like, ah, come on, guys. You can get it. Just got to get him interested.
No, she's just not a fan of the whole thing, the whole dynamic, frankly. Part of that is because I believe she has 9 pictures of herself with David Ross. That could be maybe 11 pictures of herself with David Ross. Granted, I took most of them. But yeah, you know, she's not a huge Counsell fan nor a Counsell interview fan. But what does she know? Actually, she knows everything. Happy Mother's Day, babe. If you're listening, she's the best. I doubt she's listening, but she's still the best. Oh, my God. You know, so look, they need what I've said all year is they need roster churn. They need to keep going through a bunch of different arms and find guys because the bullpen is so volatile from year to year. You have to find the dudes who are clicking. And that's why I want to see some of those minor league guys. There's a dude at Double A who may be a future closer. And Michael Arias is funky in terms of release point and stuff. And he's only a Double A, and you know you don't know about his moxie at all. So I don't know if it's going to be this year or not. But Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline, of course you see him on the road to Wrigley on Marquee as well, was on the morning show this week and talked about Michael Arias.
Yeah, he's super intriguing, and I think we're going to see him in the big leagues this year. I mean, as you mentioned, he was signed as a shortstop by the Blue Jays, I think back in 2018, and he never got into a game with them. Got released during the pandemic. The Cubs signed him, I think, January 21, put him on the mound. And I don't know if you've ever seen him pitch or if the listeners have seen him pitch, but he's entertaining. I mean, he throws kind of from like a low arm slot. You think of a shortstop, you know, getting rid of the ball in a hurry. It's kind of a low arm slot. And it's a mid-90s fastball with a ton of movement. He's got a changeup that dives all over the place. He's got a mid-80s slider that's pretty good when he stays on top of it. And the Cubs were intrigued by him as a starter. And they kind of went the Daniel Palencia route with him, where I remember talking to people about Palencia going into last year. And there were a lot of people in the Cubs system and scouts outside the organization are like, yeah, I think this guy could be a starter. And the Cubs internally said, yeah, but if we start to contend, you know, this guy could get there quick as a reliever and that might be his long-term destination anyway. You know, and they moved him. And then that's the same thing they've done with Arias. He's off to a really good start in Double A. I would not be shocked to see him in Triple A Iowa pretty soon. And I do think he's a guy that you know, like you said, the biggest Achilles heel of the team right now has been the bullpen that, you know, I think around midseason or so we could see him in Chicago.
How about that? That's Jim Callis. I didn't realize he was that heady on Arias getting here. Good pull there, Sean Sears. So to Triple A soon for Arias and then maybe to the bigs at some point. Yeah, know this. The makeup of this bullpen now is not what the makeup of this bullpen is going to be in August. It's just not. I mean, hopefully they get Yancy Almonte back healthy soon. That guy had seemed to find it a little bit. Hector Neris should be in that middle relief mix and that setup mix. I don't know who the closer is going to be. It could be Ben Brown. It could be Arias. I think Wesneski and Ben Brown will both be important players out of that bullpen. I don't know who the predominant lefty is going to be beyond Mark Leiter, who is your lefty reverse splits guy. Not sold on Richard Lovelady at this point.
I want that to work so bad.
I know. We can all want things. But we don't always get it.
I think you're right, though, Spiegs. I think the left-handed reliever's probably maybe a guy they acquire later on, if that's the case, right?
Yeah, maybe so. Texter's getting in about Mother's Day. My mother, above all others, made me a Cubs fan. Always the game on TV or radio while she was working out in her garden. Her favorite player was Bill Buckner. She had a thing for mustaches. That's right. Even though she's not a football fan, she thinks Dave Wannstedt is the most handsome man ever. I love that. We'll tell him. Hey, Wani, you got a fan. It's this dude's mom. Texter says, I was a Brewers and a Cubs fan till Milwaukee got kicked out of the American League. Then the choice was easy. The heartache of 84 and 89, but 2016 validated everything. And the first person I called was my mom. Happy Mother's Day. That's beautiful. Love that. Thank you. This is Jake, who is in Millman, Illinois. Is that where you are, Jake?
Yeah, Millmine, little bitty town. It's between Decatur and Champaign, kind of.
Love it. Jake, thanks for calling. How are you?
No, hey, I love you guys' show. I love your baseball show. I don't even root for any Chicago teams.
But I enjoy the score, and I enjoy baseball talk. So,
that's awesome.
But, my story is about my mom and, the other moms, the other neighbor moms in this little town I grew up in that I was very fortunate. All the parents, like everybody's dad worked at a factory in Champaign or Decatur, and everybody had three or four kids, you know what I mean? We all played little league t-ball, and I remember my mom and the neighbor lady, Debbie, saying, well, here we are, Debbie, again. Now it's grandkids' turn. See what I'm saying? She goes, these are the same bleachers they had back then, and they're not any more comfortable as they were then, or something along those lines. But, because then, there was three of us, and then we had nine grandkids all together. So it was like, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are still here and all the moms that aren't here, but came to every stinking Little League game or every football, basketball, whatever. But
That's awesome. A great
show. And thanks, man. I appreciate you guys taking the call.
You got it. Thank you, Jake. Thanks for calling. Love knowing that we're reaching down that way and folks are with us. And yeah, thinking about our moms here on Mother's Day, and very much looking forward to joining my wife out in the burbs. And we'll see. We'll see what happens this afternoon as Cody Bellinger and the Cubs will battle against the Pirates for one more game. Got to take two out of three out of there. Got to take two out of three. By the way, as the Cubs continue their series against the Pirates, you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And a simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything the Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us wherever you may go. Cody Bellinger is my favorite hitter to watch on these Cubs. One of my favorite hitters to watch in all of baseball. And I didn't know he had all these tools in the toolbox. Did not know he had all these clubs in the bag until he came here and rebuilt his career last year. And have joked about it with Nico Horner on the Parkins and Spiegel show, how they say it all the time from the dugout when he'll like adjust the bat speed and adjust his bat path and use that two strike hack and go ahead and just poke that ball into center field. Nico says they'll look at each other and say, nope, they don't pay for that. They don't pay you for that. I love that. But Dustin Kelly, the Cubs hitting coach, he was on with Mully and Haw this week, and he knows if he could clone Cody Bellinger, he would.
If I could clone him, I would. I probably don't have a great answer for you because I don't think anybody really expects anybody that misses time like that to be able to jump right in. But I guess if there's one guy that can do it, it's Cody. I mean, he works really hard, and he was able to maintain and do some stuff in the cage, even though he was on the DL. So it wasn't like he hadn't had any time, but he didn't get to see a ton of live pitching. But, Cody's such a feel-oriented, and he uses his kind of the past experiences so well for what he's able to go up there and do. So he knew kind of getting in there that if he got comfortable – and saw a couple pitches that he'd be able to jump right in. And I mean, that first at bat, I think he fouled off maybe 10 or 11 pitches.
Right.
And that's almost a game's worth, actually two games worth of swings for some guys. So that almost like accelerated probably the vision, the timing, the release point. So, hopefully that had a little bit to do with it. But yeah, Cody's a special guy, and just the way that he thinks about hitting and goes about managing in a bat is pretty impressive. So I'm not going to say that I wasn't surprised, but it's fun to watch.
So that's Bellinger coming back, raring to go right from the get-go. And there he is, of course, in the middle of the lineup again today. We're going to wrap up a little bit differently today. A song, and then a nice chunk, both produced by our guy, the late Steve Albini. That's coming up next before Cubs pregame on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
It is Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. So Kevin Goldstein, who is the Director of Player Development, I do believe, is the title for the Minnesota Twins, used to work for the Astros and worked at Fangraphs before, after, during Baseball Prospectus as well. Had a podcast and was looking for music to use for the podcast. And he asked his friend, Steve Albini, who just died this week, the great record engineer. Don't call him a producer, he wouldn't like it. But he asked Steve Albini to do something. And Steve Albini had poker games where Kevin would sometimes be there, I would sometimes be there, Tim Midget of the band Silkworm would sometimes be there, Andy Kaczynski, drummer of the band Hungry Man, would sometimes be there, and so many of us would be there, really. And a lot of us loved baseball and loved poker and loved music as well. So we got together and made three songs that are all available now as a 7-inch called Chin Music. Due respect to Inside the Clubhouse. But Chin Music is now available, and all of the proceeds benefit a very good cause, a different friend in need. But you can check it out. There's three different tracks. One's called Chin Music. One is called Game of Inches. And then there's this one with me and Steve and Tim and Andy called You Break My Heart Every Year.
But I can't just give you away. Love is a train you can get on or off, but it's on rails you cannot steer. You made me breathe again, experience joy. You break my heart every year.
So that's about your baseball team breaking your heart every year, and yet still you're right there. All right, we had some fun getting our AC/DC on, obviously. Steve loved baseball and was on Hit and Run this very show 5 years ago in studio, and we talked about why it is a game like no other.
When you boil every game down to its essentials, all sports are about fighting over a pill and trying to put it into a goal before a clock runs out. You know, like you have, it doesn't matter whether it's
a basketball, a hockey puck,
yeah,
a soccer ball.
You just have these two mobs fighting over a thing. And then one of them, you know, one of them's trying to put it in a goal. The other one's trying to defend the goal. And then when the bell rings, somebody has more points than the other and they win.
Yes. Right?
They're all the same game. They're all ridiculous.
With varying levels of violence and or execution, yeah, and or teamwork, but concept the same. Here, yeah, is a goal. Let me move pill towards and into it.
Exactly. Different playing surface, whatever. I mean, at a minimum, the Aztec ball game where they would, you know, the sort of precursor to basketball, where they would kill the losing team like that, to me, at least the stakes are high enough to make it interesting. But, the biggest distinction that these different mob sports have is what the playing surface is. You know, is it grass,
right,
or is it ice?
Yes.
You know, like, is it wood,
yeah,
or is it, you know, is it parquet?
It reminds me, Sam Rosen was once doing a Bears preseason game, and he also does the New York Rangers hockey game. And he tossed to break by saying, and we'll be right back. The Rangers are up 4-3 as he's doing a Bears game. And I imagined him thinking, this is the worst ice I've ever seen. What's wrong with this ice? It's a giant field of grass. That's what's wrong. But I understand why he got confused.
Yeah, so basically, these mob sports, they're all the same, right?
Okay.
Then there's one other minor class of sports, which is the pong sports, where you're trying to defeat the return of something over a net.
Tennis, ping pong, badminton.
Yeah, the volleyball.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever. The pong sports, handball, highlight, whatever. They're all pong.
Okay.
Basically.
And then there's golf, which exists in its own sort of realm.
Golf is billiards. Yeah, it's shot making, shot selection, technique, execution, you know, it's billiards.
And extremely individual.
Yeah. And then there's baseball. Baseball is not utterly unique in that there are, you know, there is cricket, which is another kind of a crippled form of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But in baseball, the ball is immaterial to scoring. The ball is just an object that you use to punish the people who are playing, you know? And you use the ball to threaten and to punish the player.
The offense doesn't even handle the ball.
Exactly. It's an utterly unique game. And it is limitless, which is what I like. That's the number one best thing about baseball, is that theoretically you could have a game that went on forever. You know, there was a book called The Big Inning. I forget who wrote it, but it was about a mythical baseball game between between ghost teams that went on, that went on infinitely,
mm-hmm.
and it was just whenever anybody, whenever anybody went ahead, then the home team would equalize in their half of the inning, and the game just went on forever. And I think that's a charming concept. Also, the fact that there's no standardized baseball field. Like, the outfield walls could be anywhere, any yes. shape, whatever. Stick a flagpole in there. Who cares,
It has to be a flagpole in a hill.
Exactly. Who cares? Like, you might as well. I think they should have a concession stand with, stairs leading up to the bleachers. I think that would be awesome,
Make a leaping catch off the fourth stair on his way to get a beer.
Buy the popcorn machine. Uh-huh. I think it would be great.
Right. So the uniqueness of baseball, obviously, it makes it. And don't you think that there is, and I do, more room for conversation, both in the timing of the game and in the incredible nuance of the game? There is endless conversation available.
The thing is that you can pick something to pay attention to on every single pitch. And over time, you will be rewarded for having paid attention to that one thing. Every baseball game I've been to,
mm-hmm.
I've seen something absurd has happened,
Yeah.
It's like our mutual friend Devin, he said every single time he's been to a poker game, he has seen something absurd happen, and that's absolutely true in baseball as well.
Yeah.
I went to a game last year, just on the spur of the moment, mutual friend, Shut Up Andy, who runs the nittykitty.com poker t-shirts company.
They are delightful t-shirts. My favorite is... what is it? If rapture comes, blind me out.
In case of rapture, blind me
out. In case of rapture, blind me out, which means keep putting my blinds out there in case. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
If the seat is empty because of a divine intervention, then anyway.
Andy invites you to a game.
Spur of the moment, for no reason. Just say, mm-hmm. Hey, I have a spare ticket. Do you want to go see this game? So we go see, a largely inconsequential game, middle late season, whatever. And Bodie hits a walk-off grand slam.
Against the Nationals and Ryan Madsen a year ago, 3 days ago, something like that.
Fantastic moment.
Legendary.
Half of the of the tragically unfaithful Cubs fans had already vacated the most beautiful ballpark to see a ball game in. In a very tense ninth inning situation, the stands were bleeding. Everybody was leaving, right? Mm. And
that's what you get.
Bada bing.
Bada bing, indeed. Requiescat, Mr. Steve Albini. Been a rough week for a lot of folks. And we'll certainly miss talking baseball and all other things with that dude. Thank you so much to the texters and the callers for getting in with your Mother's Day stories. Squeezing one more. Texter says, my mom's the reason I love the White Sox in baseball. She ran the concessions in my little league. Took me to card shows for autographs. And at the end of her life, she couldn't remember what hospital she was at or her phone number, but she knew that the Sox ballpark was called U.S. Cellular because, quote, I still call it Comiskey, unquote. Thanks to Rob in Highland Park. Thanks to all our guests today as well, Tom Hamilton. And thank you to Patrick Wisdom. Cubs baseball is next on Hit and Run, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.